Good day from Wall Street. This is Jack Marks for Wall Street Reporter, and today I am speaking once again with Next Superstock presenter, Evan Gappelberg, CEO of Nextech AR Solutions. The stock symbol is NEXCF over the counter, NTAR on the CSE. Evan, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Jack.
Evan, first I want to congratulate you on closing this new acquisition of Jalokia, and
Thank you.
some of the recent the record revenue growth you've been announcing.
Thank you. Thank you. It took a little longer than we anticipated. The lawyers, they have their fun with these acquisitions, but we feel really good about it, and our team just got bigger. We now have 10 new superstar employees that are going to help us to build this virtual events platform into something very, very big and significant for our shareholders.
So, the main thing that we're going to be discussing really is the new acquisition, Jalokia.
Right.
But first, can you give our audience an update on how Nextech, how the business, how you're doing in this sort of new, let's call it the new pandemic paradigm.
Yeah, I mean, look, we started out, in Q4 of 2018, and back then we had no revenue. We were just, a pure startup. In 2019, we reported $6 million for the full year, with, almost half of that revenue coming in Q4. And, Q1 is going to be a record-breaking quarter for us. We're going to be reporting that in the next couple of weeks. Our business is on fire. I mean, the pipeline of deals, the deals that we're signing, the big name corporations that we're talking to on a daily basis, for a small startup company, quite honestly, I'm even surprised, Jack.
No, definitely. And what's interesting is that essentially Nextech is it's kind of in the you're in the right place at the right time. You're in the in this the virtual, the remote, the AR space. This is kind of where all the action in the market is right now, with stocks like Zoom, Teladoc. These things are making highs. I think one of the things that maybe investors might be surprised is that Nextech is still 50% off of the highs of January. But maybe we could we'll talk about that later. But let's get into this Jalokia deal. What caught my attention, in some of the releases is some of the blue chip customers that are using the Jalokia platform. You got Merck, Johnson & Johnson, Toyota, Viacom, Polycom, which is, impressive. So can you explain exactly, what does Jalokia do, and why are these, enterprise customers, why are they choosing Jalokia versus, I don't know, Zoom, GoToWebinar, all these Webex, there's a bunch of these platforms out there. What are you doing different?
So the thing about Jalokia's platform, which is really, really interesting and unique, well, there's a number of things, but there's two main takeaways. One is the encryption or security of the platform. It is as secure as Fort Knox. Like you're not gonna, get into the Jalokia platform unless you were invited in. Unlike Zoom, where, hackers hack in all the time, and it's a real problem. Like there's,
It's been a disaster for them.
it's been a disaster. I mean, there's articles about, major banks and, corporations that refuse to use Zoom. And so the companies that we're dealing with, they have a higher level of security that they require, and the Jalokia platform offers that. Now, the second thing that Jalokia offers, which is really unique, is the ability to create a totally custom environment. So Jalokia is built on HTML5, which is basically the same platform that you would use, the same technology to build a website. So if you think about a virtual event or a virtual conference or training solution, you can create an environment that looks and feels exactly like the rest of your website, all of your logos, your colors, look and feel will be customized to the company that's presenting. And that's very, very unique. You know, Zoom doesn't offer that, right? Zoom has a very cookie cutter, kind of platform where it's very generic. It's not custom. And so we can customize. And, you know, I think it's important to kind of take a step back and look at the valuations a bit, Jack. You know, when we looked at Jalokia as an acquisition, we looked at the market and we said, well, all right, Zoom's out there with a $40 billion market cap. You know, they're trading at 40 times forward-looking revenue, 66 times trailing revenue. And then you got Slack trading at 25 times trailing, Teladoc trading, you know, like you mentioned, Teladoc at about 25 times trailing. You know, we were able to pick up Jalokia at 1 times trailing 12 months. And that business is set to, you know, grow very, very rapidly, meaning we picked it up just at the right time for the right price. And now we're bringing augmented reality to the Jalokia platform and to all the customers you mentioned, those blue chip customers. We're on the phone with them. We have scheduled calls for the next 2 weeks with Johnson and Johnson and Merck and Toyota to present to them our augmented reality and the next generation of the Jalokia platform. And so, you know, if you look at Nextech with 15 to 20 million in projected revenue for 2020, if you look at virtual conferences, you know, they've all been canceled. Well, conferences have all been canceled. Virtual
Trade
conferences.
shows, trade show, I mean, that's the
Yeah.
big thing. And can you
Yeah.
replace,
Yeah.
can Jalokia, you know, because we using AR, can you essentially replace, you know, some trade shows?
Kind of. I mean, yeah, you know, with virtual reality, you know, you would be able to get fully immersed into a trade show kind of experience. But with augmented reality, we're creating 3D AR booths. We're creating AR product views. So let's say you're a big company and you have a series of product launches scheduled for 2020. Normally, you would have a big gathering and a conference, and you know, all your suppliers and buyers would show up. I mean, that's not happening. And so, how do you? It's a big problem, right? So, how would you tackle that? You want to present new products to your customers, right? So you can get orders, and you can't do it in person. So we're getting calls from major corporations saying, hey, can you ARitize our product and put on a virtual conference where our customers can see the AR product in their environment, interact with it, and ultimately buy it? And the answer is yes. And we're the only ones that can do that. There is nobody else that has an end-to-end solution with a virtual conference and AR.
And,
There are other virtual conference companies, but they don't have AR.
you know, and Evan, I keep thinking back, like, you know, the demo that you guys did, you know, in one of our live streams where you had that. I keep referring it to as a truck, but it's what is it? It's some sort of what's that? It was like that 40
Oh,
foot.
the sand separation? Yeah,
Yeah,
you're
it's a
talking about
giant
the sand separation.
machinery
Yeah.
truck, whatever, huge. It's you know, and
Yeah.
and there was a Paul. He was basically showing the actual truck inside your conference room in Toronto, and anybody
Yeah.
watching this on their phone or on their desktop can actually see up close the details, I mean, of this massive piece of machinery as if it was, you know, kind of like right in their face, as if they were in front of it. I mean, you can even see
Yeah.
the reflections off metal. It's incredible. You know, we did an interview with you know, Mark Faber, you know, the big investment guru,
Doom, Mr. Doom and Gloom,
Mr.
yeah.
Doom and Gloom, yeah, a few weeks ago. And you know, he was basically he had a point. He said essentially that this you know, with these new technologies, this you know, this remote virtual webinars, everything, you know, big companies, they're not going to go back to doing, you know, business as before with these trade shows, because once they realize, you know, that
Right.
they can more or less get a lot of the same stuff quicker, you know,
What
at a
we're realizing,
fraction of the
yeah.
cost.
Yeah, you're exactly right. So It's really fascinating. So, Nextech was a first mover, is a first mover in this world of AR. Then the pandemic showed up. And what it's really done is it's taken 5 years worth of runway, meaning, it would take like 3 to 5 years for AR to really integrate into society. And it's turned it into 1 year. In other words, everything accelerated. The play, the plan, it was all in place. It was all there. But it really was, like long term, right? Now it's all happening this year. Everybody that we're on the phone with has some familiarity with AR, and they're saying, hey, it was on our roadmap, but now it's a here and now thing. It's give it to me, bring it. We were looking at it, toying with it, and now we're being asked. I mean, all these stores, if you think of, brick and mortar stores, they were all trying to figure out the store of the future. What's the store of the future? What does our future look like? But they were all like, well, we'll deal with that, over the next couple of years, right? Because that's just why make it a priority? Now the brick and mortar stores are closed. Now it's moved from, again, this 3 year plan to we need it this year. We need it now, the store of the future. And so Nextech is getting inbound calls like crazy from major Fortune 1000 companies saying, can you do us, proof of concept, that they pay for, and show us what our new reality is going to be. And then, there's hundreds of thousands of dollars in budgets because they're not spending money on, the traditional, marketing and rent and payroll. It's all now pivoting. All that capital is pivoting towards virtual events. It's pivoting towards virtual stores. It's pivoting towards these stores of the future, which is what Nextech, talking about all of the stuff that we offer. So, like you said, when we started, it's being in the right place at the right time. You know what's interesting, Jack? I was just reading an article in Barron's. I don't know if you know this, but there's a new work from home ETF that is about to launch.
I
Did
didn't
you
know
know that?
this. No, I didn't know this. This is
Yeah.
crazy. Okay. It's just
It's unbelievable. So think about it like this.
what are they
So,
adding Nextech is the question. And when?
well, we're going to send them, we're going to let them know that we're here, put it that way. But I mean, it's fascinating because if you think about, these ETFs, like you have a blockchain ETF, right? Nobody knew what blockchain was, 4 years ago, right? 5 years ago. Now, blockchain. Then you had a cannabis ETF. Nobody, everybody knew what cannabis was, but it wasn't investable until, Q4 of 2017 when all these ETFs came out and billions of dollars went into, those ETFs. Now they're launching a work from home ETF, and it's looking like June, July. It's already, they've already applied to the SEC. And I mean,
That's you know
it's
that's
kind of like
that's
it blows
that's an
my
intro
mind, Jack.
yeah that you know that could be a potential catalyst for the stock. It's very I didn't know about this, but that could be
Could be a
interesting.
huge catalyst. It could be a huge catalyst because you're talking about, these ETFs, a work from home ETF, it'll garner, hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars worth of, investors' capital, and then they got to put it to work. It's like an index. I mean, it is an index. And so, yeah, I mean, I don't know if we're going to get picked up by it, but if, but either way, it's just a positive for the whole sector.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. No, it's and again, so what let's maybe talk about maybe some of the metrics behind Jalokia. Like what was like kind of the rationale, how and more in terms of how you see adding value and some of the synergies and leverage with with all the other products that you have right now, like the online ad network, the 3D ad network, I should call it.
Sure. So first of all, Yeah, it's important to note that Jalopia has already put on over 4,000 events to date. That they are no, like startup where they haven't done any of this before. That they've, they have hundreds of thousands of people that have used their platform, and that they've, done these events in over 100 countries. And for, Johnson and Johnson, they do like product training. They've issued, over 10,000 certifications on their platform. These are pretty, big numbers again for a company that is really just doing $1 million in trailing 12 months. But, we're anticipating in 2020 for that number to multiply pretty dramatically. Now, when you talk about how does it fit in, it fits in perfectly. Basically, it becomes our enterprise platform where, all of the AR that we offer can be triggered off of and in a virtual event. So, if Johnson and Johnson is doing a virtual event, there's a new product that they're launching. In the past, it was all video based. So, in the future, and near future, it's going to be a QR code that activates an AR experience. And the QR code could be on print, meaning, it could be on internal, print documents. It could be off of a computer screen where you're watching a video. The guy on screen is demoing a new Johnson & Johnson product, and you just put your phone camera up to the QR code, and like magic, what you were looking at on screen is now in the room with you as an AR experience, and you see this exploded view of the product, and the talking head on the screen is kind of explaining to you what you're looking at in AR. And so very, very powerful. We see the ability to upsell as a very big deal, meaning a customer comes in, they're using the platform for virtual conferences, but you know what? Nextech has a whole 3D ad network. We would go to that same customer and say, hey, do you want to market and try and drive more people? Because, virtual conferences, there's no limit to how many people you can drive to an event, a virtual event, unlike an event that you actually go to. And so you can use our 3D ad network to drive more eyeballs to a webinar or to a conference. And on and on it goes, right? Where if you look at our product offering, be it web AR, where you could have the same product that you saw in the video on your website in AR, be it a 3D AR ad where you're driving traffic and pushing more and more eyeballs to the AR experience. I mean, these are very, very valuable business segments that we've created. These are still, early days, meaning the ad network just went live, like, it's literally a couple of months in. And then we have our ARitize 360 app, which is about to go live. We're just kind of finishing it up, which really speaks to the creation of the AR assets at scale. And I do
This is
want to
the
speak to that
capture.
for
This is the capture technology
the
that you
chapter. Yeah.
demonstrated. Okay.
I want to speak to that real briefly here. So we had a call with our friends at Google. They actually reached out to us, the head of biz dev over there, and we spent like an hour talking to them about our tech, and they know everybody in the world of AR. And so when Google talks, like I mean, I got to listen, right? We were explaining all of our tech, and he really zoned in on this ARitize 360 capability that we have, to capture at scale. And in that conversation, Google basically said to us, look, why don't you just launch that app with one thing in mind? Get laser focused and just capture sneakers, because the app works really, really well with capturing shoes and sneakers,
Oh, that's interesting.
footwear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a hot
So
market. This collectible sneaker thing is like crazy. This is like billions of dollars.
billions and billions. It's huge, right? So he was like, don't try and, because basically the way the app works, just like anything else, is that everything captures at a different level of quality. So he asked, like, what's the highest level? Like, what does it do the best? And the answer is sneakers and shoes. So he said, just do that. Like, don't even fuck around with, anything else. Just launch the app, get laser focused on sneakers, and then over time, you can continue to add more product mix to the capture. And so we've pivoted the ARitize 360 app to sneakers. So when we launch it, it's going to be 100% geared towards sneaker companies and manufacturers, and like you said, the guys that trade sneakers, where they will be able to, for the small fee of like $40, create an AR version of their sneaker, which is very, very powerful and a great sales tool. And we think that that has a lot of legs. So I just wanted to, update you on that, because it was again, I have my ideas, but when Google talks, I mean, I'm going to listen, right? Be
Right.
cool if not.
And that's it seems like that's kind of the strategy that all these tech companies use is they start off with one like kind of micro market and then they get laser focused and then one and then from there they really expand out.
Yeah, I mean, that hasn't been, the Evan Gappelberg way of doing things, but I'm going to give it a whirl. Meaning, I know that the ARitize app, again, works flawlessly with sneakers and shoes. So, we want to succeed no matter what. That's the goal. And so, like if we put out the ARitize app, and it wasn't just sneakers. Like, let's say it was, hey, ARitize anything. And someone tried to ARitize a car, for instance, which has a lot of glass, right? And a lot of reflection because of the paint. That experience would not be the same as the guy capturing the shoe. In other words, the product, the actual AR experience would not be as high caliber, right?
Okay,
It would require.
so how long does it would it take like for somebody to do a full AR capture of a sneaker?
5 minutes,
5 minutes.
3 to 5 minutes,
Okay,
three
and
to five
what's
minutes.
interesting is that this that's kind of sneaker culture. I think that's what they call the sneaker culture. This whole collector market, which I don't understand it, but hey, I can appreciate it. Is that that's a great demographic. I mean, this is kind of like a younger audience. It's sort of not even. I don't think even that young anymore. It sort of goes from the millennials to. I mean, I do see like some guys in their 50s wearing some of these sneakers. And that and from there
You don't have a pair of Nike off-white jacks?
no I don't even know what that is. But from there that kind of from that gives them kind of their pace and that kind of spreads the technology out and those are like the your early adopters.
Yeah, and don't forget, I mean, the Nikes of the world are looking for, the Adidas of the world are looking for, the Pumas of the world, they're looking for the solution. They want what we have. They, Google, indicated that, they talk to all the big brands, and they're all looking for a scalable way to, create sneakers, in AR and 3D.
You
And if
should.
you think about it,
I was gonna say you
yeah,
should.
if you think,
Oh, I'm so go ahead. Go ahead.
no, I was just going to say, I mean, there's hundreds of thousands of sneakers, maybe millions, of pairs. I don't know the number, but it's a big number out there in terms of different, different styles, and not to mention shoes. And, if you think about, the size of the market, and if we're able to capture that as a first mover, there aren't any other players. I mean, there's no solution, right? So there's a big opportunity even in that niche market, even in, I mean, but footwear, I mean, everybody's got 2 feet. Everybody wears sneakers, pretty much, right? Or shoes. And so, There's a big
The
opportunity,
Google
even in like.
strategy is the guy's advice is brilliant. I was thinking, have you talked to what is it? I read the article with Kanye West. He's making all his money in sneakers. I mean,
Right.
that's where I think he's worth, like, officially, he's a billionaire officially now. All right.
I read the same article
And
that
it's
it's all
coming,
due to
he's got, I
sneakers.
saw there was a picture of him there, and he's, he's, how,
Easy.
Yeezy, yeah. How many, he's got, I think he's designed like 1,000, maybe more, it could be in the thousands of different designs he's made. And all different. They all
And
have different, like, shapes. It's like, and if somebody can actually, and they all trade on the secondary market now, right? You have this,
that's correct.
secondary market of sneakers. And so f and it's actually great for the technology, because with somebody's their smartphone, they can just point at their feet and they can actually see what these Yeezys will look like on, how they will actually look on their sh in their on their feet.
And our app will let you do that for $40. And in some cases, if it's like enterprise scale, it can even be less.
You guys should
Well,
Yeezy.
the app's gonna be live, right, in the App Store. And once it's live, we will start marketing it to everybody, including Kanye. And it's a free download, so they'll try it. Like, what do they have to lose? We give them one free scan, so to test it out, right? And then after that, bingo. You know,
Perfect.
the money starts to roll in. So yeah, we're excited. That's just another business segment for us. And we also look at that as a lead gen, because back to our earlier part of our conversation. So let's say Kanye or somebody starts to scan 3D sneakers. Well, hey, let's take that same scan and put it into a 3D AR ad, right? I mean, that's the magic of the Nextech business model, is that it's not a one and done.
And that's where you make the
It's
money from the ad, from the that's where you have the real scale. You make the $40 on just that
margin.
capture, and then you can make, a thousand times that
Thousand and thousand. Yeah,
recurring revenues.
exactly. Yep, you got it. And then, you could say to Yeezy, hey, Kanye, why don't you do a live event on our Jolokia platform with your sneaker, so someone could watch him give a live, talk about his sneaker, what went into the design, and then scan the QR code that's in the video, and bingo, the sneaker's now in the viewer's room. I mean, it's like Home Shopping
They
Network
can
in
hold it.
AR.
And they can actually essentially hold the sneakers in their hands. They can see inside, outside, every detail.
Absolutely. I mean, obviously it's AR, so there's no, you can't actually touch it, but it
You could
does seem
almost
like
smell the leather, smell that plastic, whatever they're made out of. That sneaker smell, new sneaker smell, I should say. So let's get back to Jalokia. Now they're doing, I think, so they did about 1 million revenues. I think their earn out, I noticed in,
2019.
yeah, so I noticed
2019.
2019 they did 1 million. Now, in the terms of the deal, I think you have it as, what is it? Is it that if they do,
It's a million shares, to start.
okay.
So, one time, right? But,
Restricted, it's restricted shares.
restricted shares. But, they had, a desire to participate in the upside, right? Because there's going to be upside. And so I thought it was fair. We came to an agreement where, if the platform generates, just keep in mind, this is monthly recurring revenue. So the million in 2019 is still a million in 2020. It's not like it goes away. It's not like those customers aren't going to continue to use the Jolokia platform. It's ongoing and monthly recurring revenue. So it's a SaaS model. So in 2020, we agreed to pay out the Jolokia shareholders at the end of a year. So basically April 30th, 2021, we calculate how much revenue the Jolokia platform has brought in for Nextech. And if it's $4 million in additional revenue, they get an additional block of $4 million worth of restricted shares in Nextech. Now, if it's $10 million in additional revenue, they still only get $4 million. They get capped out
But it's a win-win.
at that.
It's really a win-win situation because if this now, if Jalokia does, let's say they do, 4 million in revenues, right? And if the market gives Nextech the type of valuation just for that business that they're giving, the peers, the comps like Zoom, let's just say 30x multiple, which is not crazy because it's growing like you know. So 30x revenues, that's 120 million.
120.
It could be what? That's roughly $3 a share is it could add to the stock price.
Yeah, I mean, it's
Just for that, just only for that business unit, not including anything else. So that's,
yeah, actually, it's more like $2. So I think there's around 60 million shares outstanding. So 120 divided by 60 is 2, right? So $2 US, $3 Canadian.
Okay, so it's interesting. I don't think the market has really caught on to how big of a deal, how big of an opportunity this really is. I mean, because
No,
the stock hasn't moved today.
Yeah, I'll tell you what I think is going to be the trigger that starts to get the stock moving. My opinion is, after doing this for 30 years, is that everybody's looking for some new deals, right? They're looking like, okay, you made an acquisition, okay, great. Let's see some new business, right? Let's see, some new deals signed. And so I think that's going to be the thing that gets, everybody focused on the fact that these businesses are growing and signing up new customers. And I think that's going to happen at a very, very rapid rate in 2020 and beyond. It just, like you said when we started, right place, right time. We have the right product offering. We have something very, very unique, which we really haven't spoken about, is that while there is this work from home, kind of market sector, meaning, Zoom and Slack and a couple of others, there is no work from home with AR except Nextech. There's no virtual conference except for Nextech with AR. And so we see that as a big, big differentiator. And in fact, we're giving presentations every day. And when we give our presentations to these major corporations, they all are shopping. They have to shop, right? That's their job. They go from virtual event conference company to virtual event conference company looking for the best deal, the best fit. None of them are focused on price. The thing that gets them excited is the AR. The thing that makes them go, oh, the thing that makes them put their face into the screen so they can see the AR. They don't even know what they're seeing. When we demo AR for them in a virtual conference, they literally push their face into the screen to get a closer look because it's so like incredible. And that's the thing, Jack, that's going to drive, in my opinion, an enormous wave of business to Nextech. Because again, virtual conference, they're shopping. But nobody else
It's a
has
big
AR.
differentiator. It's a key
It
differentiator,
is.
this the AR. It's sort of like Tesla. You have your whatever, your Ford electric car, whatever it is. They have a car, I think, Ford or Chevy, Volt. And then
Yes.
Tesla. I mean,
Yeah.
it's a completely different experience. It's like, with this AR, you're basically like the Tesla of electric cars.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's almost like I don't want to say that we have a monopoly because that doesn't sound right, but we have a first mover advantage. And to put it into perspective, I'm going to leave it at this. I was doing a little research on the size of the virtual events market, and according to LinkedIn, there's 500,000 events put on annually by 50,000 event organizers, which equates to $150 billion annual business. All of that is now shifted to virtual events. Now, that's the event industry, right? All of that is now virtual, it's come to a complete standstill. So you got $150 billion looking for a home, looking for a platform to put on virtual events.
No, it's a massive opportunity. So Evan, we haven't had you on for a while. You've been busy with this acquisition for the last month. So can you give our audience an update on the rest of the operations, like the what's happening with the 3D ad network, the AR ties e-commerce, all those other operations that you have.
So, basically what happened is, when the pandemic hit, which was really like February, our business, we had just launched our 3D ad network. We were just coming out of beta. We had, our web AR business was starting to scale. Our e-com business was doing well. So pandemic hits. It's like, all of a sudden we're in uncharted waters. Nobody knew, including me, what was going to happen. I didn't know if our e-com business was going to, get shut down. I didn't know if our entire business was going to, I had no idea, right? We were kind of flying blind in this new pandemic economy. So, we kind of tapped the brakes, but a little bit, but at the same time, I felt like nothing, I couldn't sense any real change in the pace of our business. So we kind of kept going. Well, meanwhile, my CFO was saying, "Hey, Evan, I keep hearing of companies laying people off. Like, maybe we should think about it." I'm like, "Nah, it doesn't feel like anything's changing, And he kept calling me like every day saying, "Another company just laid off people." I'm like, So what it, instead of laying people off, what I decided to do, which was a little risky, was load up on more inventory because I saw supply chain issues starting to rise up, with China. And so we added more inventory to our e-com business. And the next thing that happened was the e-com business exploded, where, again, I didn't see it coming, but it makes sense now in hindsight, right? You can't go to the store, so everybody's shopping at home. So, if you can't go to the store and you're shopping at home, and we have an e-com, two e-com businesses, those businesses took off.
And one of them
And we were
is in the vacuum cleaner bit, right? Which is like the perfect
yeah.
thing. People
Yeah.
stuck at home.
Right.
They want to keep their place
Right.
clean. They need the vacuum bags, all that stuff.
Right. Vacuum up the virus, right? So, yeah.
And
Now,
Lysol with some Lysol.
yeah. So we were uniquely positioned to capitalize, and that is continuing. That has not stopped, right? Because society still hasn't opened up. And because we have our own website, we're not just Amazon, we've seen a surge in, customers coming to our website, calling in. We have great customer service, and so we've actually added more headcount to our customers. So the net-net is we've picked up business that we think is not going to end. Even when the pandemic starts to wane and people start to go out again, we think that our business, the e-com side, will continue to show dramatic gains over the coming year and beyond. Now, when we move to the ad network and we start talking about that, so we had just launched it. At the same time, we had the web AR business, and I'm CEO, I got to make executive decisions. And so, I've been working with Jalopia, and all of a sudden, work from home became, the new thing. And I'm like, wait a minute, I started to connect the dots that there was this opportunity to acquire these guys. And so we negotiated the deal very quickly in principle, and I decided not to wait until the deal closed to move forward as a business as if it had already closed. So back in February, late February, March, really, we started to work as if we owned Jalopia. So essentially, we pivoted our business away from focusing on web AR or 3D ads, which was more of an uphill battle, into this world of virtual conferences. And so we spent about 30 days getting our sales collateral, buttoned up, getting our presentations buttoned up. And so now, instead of closing on the Jalopia acquisition and starting that whole process and having a 30-day, 60-day lag time, we're in market. We're on the phone every day. And we think there's going to be a lot of announcements around closing deals. There's like a 30-day, it takes about 30 days to land these deals, which are six-figure deals, right? Most of these deals are substantial. And so we kind of decided, I made the executive decision not to focus on the web AR or the 3D ad network, but to go for this virtual conference business where the demand was insatiable, right? Where there's inbound leads. And so, the 3D ad network is alive and well, so is the web AR. And the idea is that we're gonna bring in customers on the back of this virtual events platform, the Jalopia platform. And then once they're in the door, we're going to start to move them to the 3D ads and the web AR. So that's kind of the short version of what's been going on with our business over the last couple of months.
Got it. So, I guess the, picking up where I think one of the first things I asked you was like, the market, you have these, again, you have these tech stocks in the virtual remote space, that are flying. What is, I mean, what, and again, and Nextech is, probably about 50% off the highs. What is it that you, maybe that investors might be missing? What is it that you think maybe they don't quite understand about the story that if they did, the stock would be, trading at a more of a complete value?
So, remember, we're still small cap, micro cap. All of our investors are retail. We don't have any, institutional investors. There's no Fidelities or Vanguards, in our stock yet. So our goal to get fair valuation, to see the stock, reflect, what we think it should be, valued at, is to get listed on Nasdaq National. We think we can accomplish that this year in 2020. And we think once that happens, it will open up the conversation and open up the possibilities of getting big institutional investors into our stock. I mean, they just don't buy stocks on the OTCQB. Just, just don't do it.
And also, I think that ETF you mentioned, then that would give them, if once you're a Nasdaq, that would, essentially allow them to buy the stock.
I mean, the ETFs, probably the same story. Yeah, they probably won't be able to buy unless we're on Nasdaq. So it's even more of an incentive for me to get us listed on Nasdaq. And the timing, I think, is ideal because, those ETFs go, let's say, live June, July. We think we can be on the Nasdaq in Q4. So, perfect timing.
So Q4, we're talking about around November sometime.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what month, Jack. I mean, there's a couple of months in
You don't know the
Q4.
day and date?
I mean, it's a process. We're working on it. It's a priority. And when I put my mind to something, it's going to happen. One way or another, we're going to make it happen.
Okay, Evan, let's kind of wrap up with what what's the company has evolved over the last 24 months since you guys launched really. What's your vision for Nextech? Let's just say 2 years out, what is the company going to look like?
I mean, we are, and we've said, repeatedly, we're building a $1 billion, public company. And, that means that we are going to have a list of blue chip clients using our platform on a regular basis. Our technology is going to be state of the art, second to none. We're going to have innovative products that others don't have, which give us a leadership position. And so, our goal is to be that AR stock that everybody, wants to invest in. And similar to like, Microsoft was in the 1980s, if you wanted to invest in, the PC market, or Intel, those guys were the first movers. And so, we kind of see ourselves as having an opportunity to be a first mover in the AR business, which is significant. We think it's, at least a $1 billion opportunity.
Yeah, as a public company, that would kind of would be where it is. So, Evan, again, I want to thank you. Now, next week, May 6th, you're actually going to be a featured presenter at the next Superstock live stream. So, anybody who's listening right now should definitely click the link below, or if you're on social media, just go to Wall Street Reporter and go to the next Superstock page. And
Yeah.
we'll get the rest of the story then.
All right, great. Thanks, Jack. Have a great day.
Thank you again, Evan.